It's already done. It's already finished. It's already qualified. The banker in heaven done already improved it. The doctor in heaven done already healed it. It is already done. Welcome, y'all. If you are tuned in live, that was Ja'Kalyn Carr established. To day 20 of Black History Bootcamp, 21 Pleasure Principles. That means this is our 20 out of 21. My name is Vanessa. I'm walking in Washington, D.C. I'm on the line and walking with my girl and friend of more than 30 years, CEO of Girl Trek, partner, everything. Morgan, you there?
Yes, I'm only 34. I'm 34. I don't appreciate that. I'm 34 and a half. I'm fine. I got a few
baby
dudes.
30, 25.
Okay.
Look.
Here's how God works, though. Here's how God works. We were just on a conference call together, and I got a text message from the legendary award-winning gospel artist, Brian Courtney Wilson, whose wife, Stacy Wilson, is a member of Girl Trek, and he was appreciating the shout-out from Monday's email, and I responded to him. I was like, listen, Brian, you... Lil Sims, Maverick City, Kanye West, PJ Morton, and Ja'Kalyn Carr about to be the sound of this spiritual revolution.
Come on.
And I told him, I was like, there's a spiritual revolution that historians are going to talk about that Black women led. 20 years from now, they're going to talk about us, and they're going to use your music like Mavis Staples and James Brown were the sound of the civil rights movement. So when you play Ja'Kalyn Carr, you better show off, God. I literally just sent that text message. That
come
woman
on.
Is like, it
come
will be
on.
Yes.
And you are so right, yes. Because I could have made the whole playlist Ja'Kalyn Carr or even Brian Courtney Wilson, because they in particular have a disposition of victory in their songs. They are not coming from a defeated place. They are not amplifying fear. They are not making a relationship with what isn't working. They are testifying that things are already, per your faith, worked out on your behalf, working towards your good. And so many of her songs in particular, I was like, oh, like the titles, the lyrics, everything. She is an anointed young Black woman, and Brian is the same way, and they're coming from such a place of victory. And I so appreciate that, because in particular in the Black church, there has been a spirit of what we are wrestling against that I think has like dominated like a lot of sermons and a lot of music. And I'm in a different season, y'all. I'm not even like,
it's affirmation. Everybody is. The whole last generation, it's what hip hop was, is affirmation.
That's
go
right.
back and listen to the Kanye, or, you know, who is it? No, it was the Puff Daddy episode and the Kanye episode. Both of those episodes were about, how do we say it as though it were? How do we affirm a future in which we get to be powerful, in which we get to be powerful? And it is connected to yesterday's call about fear not. Fear not. Say it as though it were. You have to know the vision that you're working toward in your life. I got so many text messages after yesterday of people who were afraid to call in, but who had solutions.
Yeah.
Or maybe they couldn't get on the line. I even gonna put no fear on you. Maybe they
no,
get
I
on
got
the
a
line.
Few from people. They was like, I didn't raise my hand, but yeah.
And I just feel like whether it is changing the food systems that are poisoning our daughters, we have to see it before we can believe it. We have to see it before we can fight. We have to find the solution before we can fight for the solution. So Ja'Kalyn Carr is like, it's already been established. I am already qualified. I'm just like, this woman, come on now. She makes me want to shout every time I hear it. I've been shouting lately.
Right.
You know, Carol Jean wear her jean skirt. You know, she shouted her whole life. If you are listening to this and you don't come from a holiness tradition, first of all, these little kids with their four-wheelers riding by and kicking up this dust, I feel like the old lady in the neighborhood at this point. Because I'm like, get off my property! Get off my property! But listen, it's a blessing to have property, and I don't own it, but I got access to it. That's what I'm saying. I'm
That's
proud to
right.
own it. But But Carol Jean used to shout at church. She used to be overcome by the spirit of love, the spirit of God, the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And our church used to be rocking, clapping, tambourine, 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 tambourine. I'm mean with a tambourine. I could do like a thumb skit and a boom, 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 ba, 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 ba. Like, I'm cool with the tambourine, Vanessa. You've been my friend for 30 years. You never seen me play the tambourine.
I haven't seen you,
and my mom, my family played the spoons too, but my mom, ever since I can remember, she's shy. My mom's very shy. She would be stand up, clapping with her little skirt on, her little Jesus pin, and clapping, 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 clapping. And then she just get overcome with the Holy Ghost. And she would start running, just start walking, just start whoa, 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 jumping, jumping, jumping. Even when she skated on roller skates, it looked like she got the Holy Ghost. But I'm saying she's filled with the Holy Ghost. And I never understood what was happening because I was trapped in the vat of thinking. My brain is in a vat. I've been educated into thinking I know everything, educated into thinking I can control everything. And now that life has kicked me out of that vat and my brain been spilled on the table, I just started shouting, Vanessa, because I don't know nothing.
That's right.
And I'm telling you,
same thing.
All
same
I know
thing.
Is that love is everywhere. All I know is that I have radical access to it every day and that can't nothing stop me. And that idea alone makes me want to shout like Carol G.
Look, all I know is God didn't bring me this far to leave me. And I promise you that in my season of just struggle, I'm just like, I say it over and over. I affirm it over and over. I know it's so certain that it is like as certain as the air comes every day and the sun rises every day that I'm just like, it is an impossibility that I'm going to be failed. It's an impossibility. And you can feel all sorts of things, but that thing has kept me just like, ooh, like, no, gonna keep going one more day, gonna keep putting my feet together
one
more day.
Step.
So, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And each one of us needs something like that. We need an affirmative prayer that you just know the words, your body knows the words more than you do. You need a statement, you need a song, you need a scripture, you need something that's yours that speaks to you in the midnight hour, that tells you and affirms you so that you can speak it back over yourself, which is what today's Day 20's episode is about. Prophecy. It is about vision. It is about seeing. It is about knowing the end before the beginning for your own self and being able to call that in. And we cannot access pleasure in our body. We cannot access healing in our bodies if we cannot see it first, if you do not believe it's coming, if you do not believe it's possible. And so the discipline, the skill set, the practice of prophecy is something that, look, I have always felt, Morgan, that like that's for somebody else. That's for the Carol Jeans of the world. That's for the women who really is anointed and they got their relationship with God and I must not got. But that's not true, because every idea, every dream, every seed that has been planted inside of you, that in those moments where you're like, I ain't going to raise my hand, but I got an idea, a thought, and a vision, like that is your prophecy. So you got it. We all got it. But it's like some of us need to shout it out and speak it. Yeah.
Every single time you say the words, I am, you are prophesying.
Right.
Every single time you say, I am tired, you are prophesying. Every time you say, I am delivered, you are prophesying. Every time you say, I am loved, you are prophesying. Every time you say, I am angry, you are prophesying. I am that I am is the creation. It is the source of power.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
So you better be very careful what you say when somebody's saying, how you doing? I'm tired. Okay, well, be that. Be that.
Yeah.
Because you didn't spoke it over your life. Imagine if you spoke something different, and not just over your life, not just in your ego, but you spoke it over other people. You said, he is right. The best man I have ever met.
Yeah.
Say, this community is vibrant and loving and kind. You say, this church is growing and youthful and energized.
Yeah.
And you call it as though it were. You say, my body is healed. My body is healed. And this is not no woo-woo. This is science.
That's right. And I'm going to tell you something, Morgan, because...
Do you need to go get your medicine? Yes.
And do you need to tell the truth? Yes. But those things are not in conflict. Because, first of all, the truth has already manifested. The truth is actually the past. We are talking about the future. So what has actually happened to you, what you have actually already experienced, can be broken loose in any minute. And I worked with a life coach for a long time. You guys know that her name was Tori. And one of the tools that she worked with me on was just a simple phrase, up until now. And she would be like, change your language. And she would be like, add in up until now. And so there would be all sorts of circumstances where it was really in my past. It was really in my childhood. It was really in my previous situation. But I was speaking those things so definitively if this ever happened that I started to shift and be like, well, up until now, I was doing this thing. But because even in that moment, you can decide not to do it anymore. Like up until now, I felt unworthy. But, you can talk about how you felt. Up until now,
I I'm going to stop eating this bread. Up until now, I was fatigued. Up until now, I was alone.
But
right now, I am connected. Right now, I'm on the phone with hundreds.
Right now, I'm energized by somebody who I'm talking to or believing in stuff. Yes.
Ooh,
and y'all,
my leg shaking.
This is so important because the truth is, and Leah Morgan is truth teller. Neither one of us knew we were supposed to be doing today's day 20 episode because we knew day 21, which we are not going to do live tomorrow on Friday if you're here on this live call, but we are going to invite our entire community, whether they have been walking with us at boot camp or not, to join us on Saturday so that we can close day 21 out with an open mic, with testimony, with women pouring into each other, with sharing. And we're going to do it on the first Saturday of the month in July, because every first Saturday, July, August, and September, we are going to join on the line, Morgan and I, for Sisterhood Saturdays, and just set some intention and have exactly what we're talking about today. Create some vision for our life over the next 30 days and call in the things we want. So we didn't know. And I was like, it's like 8:30. I'm like, oh Lord, we don't even know who we're doing. And I promise you, Morgan, Spirit just spoke to me. And Spirit said that we are going to talk about Zelpha Elah. And you probably even know who Zelpha Elah is, but I'm going to just confess, I really didn't. Just Spirit said, who is the most spirited Black woman? And I literally Googled spirited Black women because I was like, we got to talk about somebody today. And the story of Zelpha came in such a powerful way that I was like, because there's no other way we should be actually ending the principles without talking about prophecy, without talking. It is maybe the most powerful skill Black women have ever had. It is maybe the most powerful skill that Black women have ever had. It might be the magic where they said we got the Black girl magic, because we be alchemist. We be transforming some stuff. And our words have so much power.
Vanessa, you remember when I got on that call a couple hours ago and I was like, I was writing something, mm-hmm. so sorry I was late. This is what I wrote. And I don't even know who Zelpha is. So.
I was writing this
for like a future Monday email or something. This is what I wrote. It's short. I wrote, God is not confused. My niece was graduating from college. I was recently divorced and looking for a place to live. I was panicked and afraid, but I was obligated to be at her graduation. When I arrived in Sacramento, I got a call that one of the houses I loved in Memphis had offers on it, and I needed to go there immediately to look at it. I told my sister I was going to fly to Memphis real quick this morning, rush to the house, look at it, and jump back on a turnaround flight to be back for the graduation. She looked at the panic in my eyes and said, God, don't work this way. Whenever you feel confused or don't know that the path for you, listen to this. I was on Instagram and I got stuck. I have listened to this 50 times. It's Oprah Winfrey. She says, when you don't know what to do, do nothing. Get still until you do know. you do know that God is love. You do know that love is around. You do know that you need to go toward it. You do know that if you don't see it or feel it, wait for it and know love is all around. The air we breathe is a reminder of the goodness of what is possible. Don't doubt that you are alive. Relish in it. Be still until it is the right time. When a flutter of hope or inspiration or a cause of gentleness comes, open your front door, and if the sun is shining or even if there's a gentle soothing rain, step out and go toward what feels good. You are held by the earth. The trees are your resuscitation. The sun grows your vibrations. The kingdom is saluting you every day. Acknowledge it. And if you lose your way, be still and know. I literally just wrote this.
I love
that. Our ability to conjure up a way out of nowhere, and when we don't have it, to have the discipline to wait for God's voice, like you just said, that spoke to you. And however you define God, I'm not here for you to criticize that. I don't, if you don't believe, you better look at the sun. You better look at the grass. You better listen to the birds. You better understand that there is a mighty force that you didn't create. Right? And what I am telling you is that Black women have always known that we know that we know. We know we have been in alignment. Even when we get beat down in the field, we have been in alignment. We have plead out, oh God, help me, help my children. There is something bigger. There is something greater. So yeah, we that is our sorcery. It is our ability to speak a way out of no way. In the world looking at facts, we looking at faith. And we're saying that the faith don't become the facts.
The faith don't become the facts. It has been established. It's already been established. Oh my goodness. You're such a good writer. That was so beautiful what you wrote. Thank you for sharing it. Y'all, if you're not subscribed at girltrek.org so that you can get the emails, make sure you're subscribed. Make sure your girls are subscribed. Your crew is subscribed. Your community is subscribed. Because it's really how you're in the know and in the loop around what's happening in Girl Trek. First of all, my phone battery is about to die. I'm out here walking. This is the first time this has happened let me start walking on back to the office, because also it's like bad air quality day. They was like, stay inside. So I'm just like, okay, this is a sign. I am going to make this conversation quick. And also, we're really talking about Carol Jean and all of the spirited woman of the world when we talk about Zelpha. I'm so excited you didn't know about her, because her story is so beautiful. And you just read that, but I want to read something to you about her before I even get into her whole story that I actually think is exactly what you just described.
And can I tell you this, B?
Yeah.
We're talking about Carol Jean and we are talking about Annette. We are talking about women who, beyond the facts of our lives, held on to a faith that tomorrow is going to be better. And there's no way that your mom made it through prison without that.
No way. There's no way she made it through. And there's no way she's still here. Yeah, and with her fresh Air Force Ones. Yes, exactly. Yes. No, my mama is absolutely an alchemist. And she is in the spirit of this woman Zelpha Elaw, was born in 1790. I just want to paint this picture. It's 1790, but she was born to a free family in Pennsylvania. They had 22 children. She was the 20th of 22 children. Her mother passed away at 12. In their household, they were Christians, and she said they worshiped loudly and they praised loudly. And it was a big part of her upbringing. Her mother died at 12. Then her father died at 14. And she was orphaned. And a Quaker family in Pennsylvania allowed her to move in with them. And she started to study the Quaker tradition. But she was like, it wasn't like all the shouting that I had in my family. There was something for her to learn. But she said that she didn't feel like, it wasn't like the spirit was there for her. Until a camp meeting came to town. And this is like, just understand that all of the brick and mortar buildings that we have right now around churches didn't always exist. And that if you're talking about 1790, brave people who had faith and believed had to put a stake in the ground. They had to say, I do believe this thing, and upon this rock shall be. And so before people had the money for churches, they were just doing tent revivals and what they call camp revivals. And so Morgan, the Methodist church did a camp revival near where she was at. And she went to this camp revival, and she said it was so powerful for her that she then started going back and back and back and really getting herself immersed into the Methodist church. And at the and then at the time, she was like in her mid-20s, and she became so enraptured with these teachings that she felt like she could teach others what she was learning. And so she started visiting people in their homes, like the sick and the shut-in and the early, and just talking to them about the word and talking to them about the Bible. And she was totally fine with this. That's what she was doing, and that's what she felt her calling was. And then her sister Hannah, who also died prematurely, on her deathbed said, "I had a vision, Zilpha, of you preaching to huge crowds. I had a vision of you being a preacher." And she said she ignored the vision of her sister because she was just like, she can't be talking about me. I'm shy, I'm this, I'm that, and I'm already doing my thing in people's houses. And so her sister passed away, and she kept doing her thing in people's houses until she herself fell very ill. And she said she was deliriously ill when she herself had her own first vision. And she said God himself talked to her and said, "Yes, you will be preaching in front of crowds of people." And then, and I want to read this part from a story that I got about her. It said, "After many months, Zilpha recovered and did in fact attend another camp meeting. While there, spontaneous prayer and repentance broke out in the tent. She shared with several other Black believers. Some were weeping, others were rejoicing." She said, "And the noise attracted hundreds of attendees, Black and white alike. In the ruckus, Zilpha felt an invisible hand on her shoulder and heard a voice tell her to go outside of the tent. Going outside, she felt a sudden internal prompting and began preaching loudly to the crowds around her." Right there in the tent, walked outside. And from that moment, she became a traveling preacher. And they said she had such the fire in her that crowds at first would come for the curiosity because it was so rare to see a Black woman preaching. And they said Black people would come, white people come. And as soon as they got there, they would be pulled in by her powerful message, pulled in by her testimony. And they said she just traveled all over the United States. And by this time, it's like 1820. So I want you to imagine that this Black woman was traveling all over the United States in the 1820s. And preaching to major crowds of people about the gospel and the good news. She became so powerful that some people said she was the most outspoken Black woman in the early 1800s, a person who could command crowds, a multiracial crowd, something that was unheard of. She then got on a boat and went to England, y'all. And there was a huge abolitionist movement happening in England. She established a brick and mortar church in the heart of London in 1840, y'all, and then started traveling all over England, preaching the gospel and the good news, and crowds would come everywhere. And she said that every single sermon that she preached was because she sat, listened to God, got a vision, and just was sharing his message. She was like, it was just channeling through her, channeling through her, channeling through her. She, while in England, by the way, and this is a part of the pleasure principle, before going to England, she divorced her first husband. So I don't know what the situation was because they didn't have that part up in the biography, but just know she was like, I got to let this man go because there's something bigger for me. And she got on that boat. When she got there, she had actually one of the first interracial marriages. And this is in like 1850, she married her second husband, an Englishman. He even himself, though, was documented later in life just not believing that she could do what she said she was going to do from a spiritual lens. But in fact, she did. And they said that over her lifetime, she preached to tens of thousands of people in person. And she said all of that came from her ability to prophesy. And she said she had a vision of Black people being free. She said she had a vision of us being self-sustaining. She said she had a vision from God that our struggle wouldn't always be our struggle. And so on this day 20, I say we are living in, her vision was us. We, when they say we are our ancestors' wildest dreams, just know that Zilpha Elof, a woman born in 1790, had this vision, spoke to God, and then went around the world and the country prophesizing to people about the good news, about the liberation of Black people, and she did it as a Black woman. She lived into her 80s in England and was laid to rest there, Morgan, and then now is considered to be essentially the first Black woman preacher. And so today's message, prophecy over your life, is inspired by Miss Delpha, the 20th of 22 children, whose sister said, I had a vision. And this was really powerful. She said, yeah, my sister had a vision, but I needed to have the vision. And so even that for me was the message. I was just like, other people really can hold space for you, y'all. I've had so many people pour into me. So many people tell me they see things, Morgan. So many people tell me that they're moved, but none of those visions really matter until you yourself have a vision. And in the little bit of information that is available about Delpha, it was that she kept coming back to a place that moved her spirit. And she said that's why when she was in the Quaker church, she was like, I was learning a lot, but it wasn't like what it was in my home where my spirit was moving. I could talk to God in this different way that wasn't language, that wasn't words, that was more of a crying out, that was more of a something going through her body. And it was when she then fell ill, and I'm telling y'all, some of us are in the midst of an illness right now, an illness that may not even got no name, an illness that may not even got no diagnosis, but you are your back is up against the wall, right? It's like it's the 11th hour and you like, what? But it's in those moments that you get the clearest vision sometimes. And so in her 11th hour moment where she herself had already watched her mother and her father die and her sister die and she thought she was next, she said, I held on to this vision. And then literally she was like, it was the next week she was back at that camp meeting. And it was in that camp meeting on that day that she stepped out and started preaching and never stopped. And I believe that is the message and the word on this day 20 of this pleasure principle. You have to see yourself whole. You have to see yourself well. I mean, you can't just see me and Morgan well and whole. You can't just hold space and see the other girl checkers and your sisters and your friends telling, well, you got to believe that the best is possible for you. And so my question to you, Morgan, is like, what do you do to still yourself so that you could be even in a position to receive? And if it's not still yourself, if it's stand up and shout, if it's listen to gospel music, but how do you create an atmosphere so that you can be, as even our friend Abraham Hicks says, in the receiving mode?
Well, first of all, I'm about to shout now. You done just preached the whole word. I'm laying flat on my back with my phone plugged in. I'm about to go back outside right now. To...
Yo, I'm going in to get the charger. You made that.
Listen, you're going to get the charger. I'm about to tell you about the answer that. I'll go back outside, listen to my door open. It's about to say back door open and don't be scared. Okay. All right, there we go. I'm out. Vanessa.
Hey. Yes.
That was a whole word. Word you just said. And I'm
from Delpha Elah, a woman whose name I didn't even know 5 hours ago. Like, I promise you guys,
Delpha,
it's women.
Elah. You got to prophesy over your own life. Here's the thing I know for sure. The first answer to your question is you have to surround yourself with spirit-filled people. But don't let that trip you up, because other people can have a vision for your life. Other
right.
people can have it clear as crystal. But what does the word say? That the people will perish if they don't got a vision for their own selves. That's what I'm saying. You will perish. And I have so many beautiful people in my life. You know, you, Kendria,
yeah.
Twyla,
yeah.
Carol Jean.
Yeah.
I mean, spirit-filled women. But this particular hero's journey I'm on right now, this particular walk, this particular talk, this particular leveling up, boy, I better have a vision for my own life. Mama can't do it for you. Sister can't do it for you. Friend can't do it for you. And in fact, sometimes their fear, their pain, their love for you will not allow you to do the things that you know you are being called to do.
We live in a society of compounded trauma, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put my trauma on you because I'm scared. You're gonna put your trauma on me because I'm scared, because you're scared. And we live shook and stuck and out of alignment. So sometimes when you have experienced population level trauma, as Black people have, it requires a hero. It requires a Harriet Tubman to say, I see all of the facts. I know that we were all stolen. I know that we were all subjugated. I know that we were, all of our rights were taken. I see the facts. I know our families were broken. I understand the prison industrial complex. I understand Black Lives Matter and police shooting our babies in the face. I understand the facts. And I see a vision that is bigger, bolder, beautiful, and I can feel it. I can taste it. I can hear it. And if can't nobody else see it, I can. And unless you can get in that posture of praise for what is already happening for you, of gratitude in your grief, of understanding what satisfies you and saying, more of this, God, there ain't no way you can be the next Mary McLeod Bethune where you breaking through barriers. There ain't no way that you can figure out how to make a way out of no way. There ain't no way you can practice fearlessness if you can't see it. So sometimes what I do, Vanessa, is turn down the voices of everybody else. I really do. Sometimes it's what Oprah says. Sometimes I get really silent. Sometimes I go days without talking to people. You know that. You know it's why I'm living on a farm right now. Because I have to turn down the naysayers. I have to turn down the people who say girl check ain't good enough. Half of them saying we ain't good enough, we ain't big enough. Other half is saying we too big to support you. I have to turn all that down and say, we have already overcome the world. You can't tell me that 1.3 million Black women walking and talking and solving problems. When you walk down the street and you pass 14 houses, that 14th house had a girl trucker listening to this call right now. You can't tell me that we don't have the power to change the conditions that make this organization necessary in the first place. You cannot tell me that the woman who listened, the grandmother who is pleading for her granddaughter's life, who called yesterday, or the young girl who is saying it is impossible for us not to believe and step forward. You cannot tell me that the power of those women will not transform this world. What is her name? Sojourner Truth said, who can turn this world right side up? So half the time, you got to silence all of the haters, all of the naysayers, all of the people who say your marriage ain't going to never work. You silence them and you get connected to love and what feels good. And you double down on love. And the moment it don't feel good, you might need to leave. Or the moment you feel like you're out of alignment, you might need to leave. But that has to be a deeply personal decision. And that's the one thing that I do is I silence other people and I really, really tune into God. That's number one. Number two is I surround myself with art because I feel like art is created only when you are in alignment, really good art. And so music, oh my God, can elevate me. Music, I literally look at beautiful photography. Sometimes if you're following me on Instagram and it's just all in my feed is just beauty, 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 beauty. That is a discipline. I am training my eye on beauty. I am training my eye on liberation. Because there is destruction all around. I am training my eye on light. And then the last thing I do, Vanessa, is I am impeccable with my word. I just refuse to speak destruction over the people I love. I refuse to speak destruction over myself. And that has been the hardest journey because I come from a legacy of gossiping. I do.
Yeah.
I come from a legacy of people who are afraid of optimism.
Yeah.
And I know that may not, that might sound counter, but I'm saying like you could hold faith in God and then dismiss everybody around you. And it's this sort of toxic faith, right? Where you are not doing your neighbor as yourself. You're actually deferring to this greater power and then being mean to the people around us. And I had to break that curse over my life. I'm not afraid for the people around me to be good. I'm not afraid because I'm not dependent. I'm not, what you do has nothing to do with me. So I wish you well. And your wellness has everything to do with me, which is, I know that sounds crazy. I don't know if it sounds crazy. It don't sound crazy. It's the truth. What I'm saying is I want to be, I don't even want people to see me, Vanessa. I want to become so porous to all that is good around me, to the Tyrenes of the world, people who are just light. I want to be so connected to that. I want to be so focused on supporting women like Tyreen and Siobhan. Women, I want to be so focused on that, that nothing, everything else dissipates. And then I want that to be, I want to be so focused on it that I become, that I become radically connected to everything that is good and nothing else matters. Who did this to this person? This, I don't even have space for it. That my days are filled up with good. So that's how I have started. I really have, like, from the moment I wake up, in practical sense, from the moment I wake up, I just wake up, open up my eyes, and I just breathe. And then I just look at the sun become cracking through the windows, and then I get up and I open all the shades in the whole house. Front door, shades, just let the light in. Then I listen to one of my apps, pause, like something, give me something, God, for my brain start coming back.
Thinking
and worrying and panicking and stuff. So I listen to something that's positive. It could be music, it could be whatever. I go for a walk. And I oftentimes leave my phone at home unless I want to play something like Brian Courtney Wilson, something like Jacqueline Carr. Jacqueline Carr, I listen to music or I leave my phone at home and listen to the birds. And I walk at my pace. Ain't no records, ain't no distance. I just walk 15 minutes out. I pivot, go 15 minutes back because I got a call. And I know where that 15-minute mark is at the end of the block over around the corner. And I come on right back and I get on the call. Then I get myself together. Cleanliness is next to godliness, right?
Yes, always
make this part. But I try to get myself together, okay? And then I sit in a place where there is light shining on me. And I take these little Zoom calls because Zoom is not my life. It ain't even real. I take the calls as transaction to be able to get in person with people and build real and authentic energetic relationships that are going to transform the world. But this is the world we live in. So I connect. We plan. We do that for 4 or 5 hours, Vanessa. We get on this call together for 4 or 5, you know, a couple minutes. This has become my life. And y'all, in between, I start to feed my physical body because your gut is connected to your brain. And you put garbage in, garbage out. Sometimes I'd be panicking and I'd be like, it's because I ate the ice cream sandwich. My brain is like on drugs. No, it's literally like on drugs. If I drink at this point, now that I've been plant-based for a while, if I drink a soda, I literally I have mental dysfunction where I just be like anxious and I have an attitude and I'll be snapping at people. That's mental dysfunction. Yeah. And it's because coursing through my veins and in my cellular body is artificial coloring, sugar, all this kind of stuff. So y'all got an Instapot. You don't even have to know how to cook. You just put the beans up in there. You just put the stuff up in there. And then it just be like multi-bean soup in like 37 minutes. I got an Instapot. So these are the kinds of daily practices. And the thing that I am not doing well that I want to do is two or three are gathered. I feel ready now to be in like-minded community with people to when I do have off days, I can say, sis, knock on the door. I'm going to have an off day. Can you take a walk with me? And I have not trusted that because there's been so much disease around me. I have not trusted that. What about you? What are you doing now? You got a whole regimen.
Look, well, part of my regimen is to it's a toolbox more than a regimen. And I pick up what I feel like I need for the day without the pressure of feeling like I have to practice every tool in 24 hours. And so it is, I wake up in the morning and drink water. Since I've been managing my hyperthyroidism, especially, I mean, I literally can feel like anxiety building and feel the adrenaline building. And drinking water is a physical thing where I feel the water washing over and back down my body and pushing it back down. So I try to drink like a whole bottle of water as soon as I get up so that my body can just feel hydrated and I can push that energy and those toxins and like all of those things down and out. And then I've been doing a lot of journaling, and journaling used to be so challenging for me. It was one of the things when I was working with Lori where it's just like, I cannot get this, like, I just had so many hangups. But now I usually only ask myself one or two questions. What would I love? I just say, what would you love? And I write it, like, literally 3 or 5 minutes, like, what would I love? And then I also always use the prompt, in my wildest dreams, I envision. And I just go for it. And I trust that ain't nobody gonna read this but me. This is for me. I don't gotta censor myself. I don't have to filter my thoughts, but I give faith that I have dreams and desires and things that are pulling me and drawing me, and I want to name them. It's scary. It's scary to name the things you would love. It's just like, I don't, you know, and then you start wanting to go to how are those things gonna happen, but I don't worry about that. So I use those two prompts to write and journal. And then I sit in the sun. I do like you, all my windows and stuff are open. I sit outside on my balcony and for at least 15 minutes and I just like rest. Because when you get up, you're not always awake or like, you know, so I actually re-rest. Like I'm just like, ooh, I woke up, you know, drink my water, I sit here, I just rest. And then I pray and I just like, and sometimes I use my app, sometimes I don't, but I just talk to God and just like say what I would want. And say what I need and ask for what I need for the day. And I usually just let that be my anchoring. And then throughout the day, a lot of other things can happen. I'm back into my yoga. My walks have been just amazing. I'm really intentional about like where I can walk to. And I love walking by myself. And I don't usually listen to music anymore. I just love the sounds of just like the city, the people, the laughter. And I was like, this is why you moved here. It's exactly why you actually decided to live in the city. And I was like, if you want the quiet or you want something else, go there. But if you came for this, then embrace it instead of every time you go out for a walk, closing it out because you put on something else to listen to. So just like spending time with myself in those ways, it's been so healing for me, and being much more intentional about it and making sure that every single day, there's no day where I don't give myself at least 30 minutes. There isn't. And lately, actually, since I got back from North Carolina, I told you that one of the people there was this woman named Octavia Rahim, and she has a really great book that I can't even think of the name of, but it's the subtext is Stillness Practices for Courage. And it's only like four things in there. And one of them is lay in Shavasana for over 20 minutes and let yourself die to your old self. And I literally practice that, just like 20 minutes of just like letting the things that like are on me, because you can feel physically, y'all, when things are on you. I shake my hands sometimes before I get to shake my body. And I just let those things like pour out for just like 20 whole minutes. I set my timer, no music, no nothing. And then I roll over to side position pose because that's the luminal space. That's the transition before you enter back in. And I reflect on how my body feels in that moment and what did I do and what thoughts and emotions came up. And then I get back up and then I'm ready to more enter into the world, feeling like I'm more aligned and connected with who I am and myself. And I feel so much clearer when I do that.
That's so powerful. For people who don't know Savasana, it's literally just laying in repose. It's just laying on your back with your palms facing up and just in kind of ultimate receiving mode. And yogis believe that that is the opportunity to die to everything that came before. It's all connected to this conversation and what you were saying, like up until now, you died to up until now, and you decide to receive what is possible for you in this moment. And my God, just lying down in that resting pose is so powerful. And then rolling over onto one side, which is like fetal position. It is a position of surrender. It is a position of also rest, so that you can then transfer up into a standing position. And, you know, that's beautiful, because if you think about what we were talking about with grief, that, you know, that grief is gratitude, that saying, I'm grateful for what has happened up until now, because it made me aware of what I want in this moment. And letting that go and knowing that death is a part of life, that cycles, that the world gets dark every day and then the light comes back. And that these kinds of cycles, if we understood it, we wouldn't be so afraid. We wouldn't be so afraid. And so,
that is
a good way to practice fearlessness. And we know that fearlessness is on the other side of love. Right? And fear is on the other side of love. And if we talk about God is love, then what we're trying to do is get in alignment with being alive, being in love, having life force coursing through our bodies. And sometimes we got to get rid of that fear in order to do it. So I loved the visual of you can feel, you know, what's on you. You can feel and you can shake it off and you can die to it and say, no, I don't want that anymore. Don't want that anymore. And today is different. And I'm going to talk different. Yeah. I'm going to look different. I'm going to smell different. I'm going to be different. It is the theme through every single Black History Bootcamp episode. It is the reason so many people change their names. It is the reason why so many people had to be alone before they could be together, is people saw a different vision for their life and they decided to be brave and go toward it.
That's right.
Go toward what scared everybody around them, but they practice fearlessness, because on the other side of fearlessness is love, is expansion, is elevation, is enlightenment, is rapture. It really is rapture. So, I was watching with the Jesus.
Oh,
and he was like, the kingdom of God is inside you. And I was like, hold up. I was like, hold up, Jesus, what?
That's what I was getting ready to say. I want to recommend a book to anybody who feels intrigued by this conversation. It's called The Power of Awareness. It's by a man named Neville. It came out in 1930. You can read the whole thing in one day. And I personally think, and it's literally like the foundational book of like the law of attraction, essentially where everybody got their original information from. But what I love about The Power of Awareness in particular is that each small chapter uses scripture so well to explain the creative energy that we have in the I Am, to explain the concepts of the renewing of our mind is really the renewing of the world, because when you renew your mind, you really bring new ideas and new work. To explain that it's actually even, and we've talked about this, it is actually sin is to use your creative energy to think about the things that could go wrong when you know that God force is creating so good. So why would you use your energy in that way? Like, it's so powerful. And I think it's like a good book for people who are just starting out in this space to say, how do I harness all of this? How do I start to prophesize over my life? What does that look like? So I would highly recommend The Power of Awareness by Neville as a book that people
finish the sentence.
No, I don't even know what the sentence was. It was like,
people can't read. I'm sorry, friend. I was excited about it. And I was thinking, what do you think all of this, the power of awareness, kind of divine manifestation, prophesying over yourself, what does all this have to do with health?
Everything.
Because I know there's people out there who are thinking, how did I get involved in this? I signed up for a health movement. Like, what? Like, what is
well,
this?
Well, first of all,
women is dying from heart disease. Like, not this, heart disease. Black women are dying from diabetes, not this, you know, not a lack of faith. And so I'm curious to your answer to that.
Yeah. First of all, I like to tell this story because I feel like it illustrates it has nothing to do with health, but it's quick. During the Albert Einstein's time, of course, he's a genius. He was creating all these theories, so smart. Most of all his theories still stand today. But he had an arch nemesis. The guy lived somewhere in Europe. And the guy believed that there was an additional theory, right? And I can't even try to name to you what the theory is, but Albert Einstein was like, that's impossible, blah, blah, blah. So that guy got crushed in history because Albert Einstein was so big and he was like, this guy's absolutely crazy. But what that guy believed in is actually the whole foundation of FaceTime. It is how we're able to just somehow use this little device, get on the device, and it's transformed our world, right? Like video and Zoom and all those things was what he was saying about the molecules and the this and that. But Albert Einstein could not see that part. So I'm telling you this now about the medical field in particular, because there's a great documentary that I've recommended a couple of times. It's called Heal. It's on Amazon Prime. Maybe start there. But scientifically, the science community is catching up to this 1930s Neville book to say that actually physical transformative healing, and they have studied this on all sorts of animals, we can regenerate our organs, we can regenerate our cells, we can heal ourselves from terminal and chronic diseases. The power of the mind to heal is your most powerful actual tool. And science is just slow to catch up to confirm this. So I am letting you know, they might even be playing this podcast now that we're letting you know that your ability in your own mind to see yourself as healed and whole is a biggest part of when you stepping into any doctor's office or you're getting ready to get on the operating table. Or I do this too. I'm taking medication right now. I look at them pills. I imagine that pill going into my body. I imagine it going to my, I put my hand on my thyroid gland. It's a butterfly gland. I imagine it removing the toxins. And I think it's working much better because of it. And I'm not the only one. And so like Heal is a good documentary to, it has like so many evidence-based examples to show that we just don't understand yet how the mind is so intricately connected. And it's, by the way, not just your brain, because this, most of the research is showing that the most intelligent mind we have is our heart. And so from when people are telling you to open up your heart and move from your heart center, it's not just yoga and woo-woo stuff. It is actually the science telling you that your heart and your brain are in such communication, and that when they're out of cohesion and sync, there's major problems, because your heart is the one that is communicating to the rest of your body what the hell it should do. And all of these things are connected to your mind. And
you are the whore. The whore with my glasses.
Yeah, so I'm just letting you know, it is so powerful. It is 100% connected to our physical bodies. It is 100%. You have to talk to your heart if you have heart disease, y'all. Yes, you got to walk. You got to cut down on the saturated fats. And also you need to talk to your heart. You need to physically open your heart up so that it can stretch itself out and get more pliant. You need to see the cells working together. You need to know that the blood vessels are flowing, and you have to speak real life over those things. And so for me, that's what it has to do with our health, is that we especially, let me tell you something about exhaustion in particular. There's no vision that you can create from a space of exhaustion, hardly. It's like, you're just so tired that like one, literally what I even said of what I do to get into my still place is like, you have to physically rest your body so that your mind can even open up to imagine these things. So going on a walk is putting your body into a posture of even rest and homeostasis and like a rhythm, so that your brain is not firing off 1,000 thoughts a minute, so that it can take a break, so that your heart can take over, so that your heart can start to do the thinking for you, so that your feelings, when you start to address them, this goes back to grief, can feel differently and speak to your body and say, you know what, we're good. There is no threat here. I'm okay. So all of the things are working together, and don't let science or the medical community or the limited knowledge that we have out there right now make you think that this type of thinking is fringe, because just like when Albert Einstein's time and he couldn't imagine FaceTime, it soon come will be front and center as a part of our healing journey, unless it's suppressed by the pharma companies, but we hope it's not. Sorry about that last part. But yeah.
No, keep it in. Yeah. No, you know, it's so powerful. It's so powerful what you're saying. And it's like I used to tell my mom, I was a precocious little kid, and I used to be like, I don't understand all this in the Sunday school and stuff, but I'm going to just do it to cover my bases. because I feel like the stuff is so basic. What we're saying is, yeah, speak life over yourself. Don't speak destruction over yourself. It's so basic. So just try that maybe for a day.
Right.
Try not saying nothing negative or nothing dark over yourself or nobody else and see how you feel. Try, and then on the other side of like Western medicine, try walking for a day. See if you feel better. If you don't, just sit on the couch and see how that works for you. See if you feel better or worse. Sometimes you do need to sit on the couch and rest. So part of it is following your bliss or surfing your satisfaction, doing what feels good for you. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. We talk a lot about my ex-husband, Keith, Dr. Dixon, shout out to you. We love you so much. And he went to all this school, 20 years of school, medical school, residency, all this stuff. He's a doctor, internal medicine, you know, whatever. And I kid you not, every day he would come home, he'd be like, I told somebody else about Girl Check. I told somebody, I gave them a walking prescription. And I would be like, out of all that training you got, this is your answer that you, this is what you got to give to these people. Because it works. There's also like this notion of positive thinking, but also like being connected to what is the kingdom of being alive. Right? There's this beautiful study. There's a lot of studies about vitamin D and how it helps us to walk outside. There's a study that was in Japan where cancer patients walked in an old growth forest. So these big old gnarly trees, this old growth forest, misty Japan, and every day they walk through and their cancer symptoms like reversed from just walking into these old growth forests. And so like, was it the walking? We don't know. Was it the old growth forest? We don't know. Was it somebody telling them their cancer was getting, we don't know, but it worked. And so I'm just saying like, sometimes cover your bases. Like I told my mom, just do what, do the basics of what is good for you. Do the basics of what is good for you and then see what works for you. So I'm so grateful for this call. Prophesy over yourself. Call it as though it were. Say what needs to be said over your, speak sweetly to yourself. Speak sweetly to those you love. Or be silent until you know what to say. That's what we learned from Dr. Francis.
Yes, that's right.
You might not have a vision right now. You might not know how to speak without speaking just ratchetness over other people. I got some people in my life like that right now, Vanessa. They just don't know how to talk to me. So just be silent until you can say something kind. I was telling Vanessa that there is a particular woman here. I live in a very special community, but it is a community that has tenfold everything that has ever happened to us on this tiny island of Black people who have been on the front lines of fighting for freedom. And so you think drug addiction, you think verbal, physical, emotional abuse, you think just every single thing that is ailing our community is compounded. And I was telling Vanessa that there is a young woman here who is literally screaming at her daughter every profanity. I mean, masterfully cussing her daughter out to where the neighbors are looking out of their houses. She cussing him out like a grown man who assaulted her. And I was just like, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't sit by and I just don't know how not to sit in judgment of it. And I'm working on it because it's not my job to judge. It's not my job. I have to treat her with loving kindness even still. People can feel when you're judging them. And I was sitting there 100% judging her in my silence. But I thank God that I knew to be quiet. And I just was like, but then I'm thinking, well, who's going to rescue this little girl? Well, I didn't have the pathway to rescue her now, but I have some ideas now. And part of that idea is for me to be such a face of what is good that she wants to be more like me, the mother.
Yeah.
or the daughter, because you can't battle wickedness. I'm not in shape to battle, to fight the devil or to fight fear or to fight generational trauma. I'm not in shape. I'm one person, but I can inspire. I can light ways. I can practice goodness and gentleness and patience. I can practice self-discipline and love and joy.
And you can speak life over them for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can speak life over them, because up until now,
and
she's
I can
been
imagine
yelling at her
a
daughter,
difference.
But maybe tomorrow she won't be, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wish everybody well who's out here. I wish that love would overcome all of our lives. It already has. That's the trick. It's already available in every ounce of your life, every space and every corner of your home. It's available. Every step you take on a path outside, you can step and be held by what is good, by what is whole, by the sun that comes up every day. Like, you can be held by that rhythm. You can be held by that consistency. And I'm just grateful for that, Vanessa, because the world will tell you otherwise. The world will tell you that you're dying fast. Get this pill, eat this, do this, watch this doomsday. And I'm saying that fear is a lie.
Fear is a lie. I think it's a good way for us to even end this conversation. Fear is a lie. And everything you speak over yourself, speak it from a place of real vision and love for who you are, and faith that anything you want can come to pass.
Meet us at 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Eastern time for the conclusion of 21-day boot camp and our first Sisterhood Saturday broadcast. And an important announcement, think about, reflect on, any gems, any ahas, any questions, any feedback, anything you want to share on the line, because we're going to open the lines and feature you on Saturday. So go back over your journals, go back over what you texted your friends, and share any knowledge or any breakthroughs or anything you heard, so that we can start to prophesy over this movement and say what will be done. And share with a broader group who will be with us on Saturday. So that's it, everyone.